Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vaigash. This week, we're getting closer to the end of the calendar year, and now is a great time to remind you and ask you to please consider a gift to Pardes in honor of the podcast and to help us in our mission of spreading Jewish learning. Pardes is a small institution, so your gift of any amount will make a real difference. You can donate online and anytime via pardes.org.il. Thank you very much. This week, Vaigash with Rabbi Alex Israel. Rabbi Alex Israel is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Alex Israel.
Thank you, Larry. This week, we're going to study Parshat Vaigash, in which the story of Yosef, the Joseph saga, comes to a real crescendo. This week we read how after a long and tense 22 years, Joseph, Yosef, reveals his identity to his brothers. V'lo yachol Yosef litapek. Joseph can't go on with the masquerade anymore. And he reveals his identity to his brothers and says, Ani Yosef, ha'od avichai. I'm Joseph, is my father still alive? This is an incredible moment. The brothers are dumbstruck. In fact, when they go up to their father and tell their father that Yosef is alive, he too is dumbstruck. It says, "Vayafag libo ki lo ha'emin lahem." His heart went faint, for he didn't believe them. Of course, after 22 years of Yaakov, of Jacob, mourning for his son, how could it possibly be that out of nowhere he's going to be alive, let alone this Egyptian ruler who has been taunting his sons? Yaakov initially doesn't believe them, but eventually says, my son's alive, right? He says, Ravod Yosef ben Ichai, if my son is still alive, El Chav Erenu Beterem Amut, I better go see him before I die. And it is with this that we're going to take a look at the scene in which Yaakov, the elderly father who's been mourning for 22 years, meets Yosef, his son who has now adopted his Egyptian lifestyle, and they go and have this reunion. And this is described at the end of chapter 46 in Bereshit, where we read, Vayesor Yosef Merkavto, Yosef ordered his chariot, and he went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. Vayeira ilav, and he appeared to him. Who appeared to who? Vayeira ilav, he appeared to him. Vayipol al sabarav, and he fell on his neck. Vayevk al sabarav od, and he cried excessively on his neck. This is a tearful and emotional reunion. Can you imagine? Yosef has been pining for his father, suddenly to be reunited with his elderly father after all these years, after all he's gone through. And Yaakov, who mourned inconsolably for Yosef, is suddenly reunited with his son. We would imagine this would be a tearful moment from both perspectives. And yet, something remarkable happens. Only one person cries. When you look at the text, it says, Vayera ilav, we don't know who appeared to who, but then, Vayupol al sabarav, he fell on his neck. We don't know whether that's Jacob falling on Joseph's neck or Joseph falling on Jacob's neck. Vayivk al sabarav od. This is not Vayivku and they cried. It is, and he cried. Only one person cried. Who wouldn't cry on an occasion like this? But who is crying and who isn't crying? That's the big question. And here our commentators get involved. Rashi, who we always turn to first, suggests that the person who's crying is Yosef, but that Yaakov doesn't cry. If I read Rashi, Vayevgal Savarav Od, he says, Aval Yaakov lo nafal al savarei Yosef lo nashako. Yaakov did not fall on Yosef's neck, and he did not kiss him. Va'amru rabotenu shahaya koreet shema. Rashi makes another enigmatic comment. Yaakov doesn't cry. Yaakov doesn't kiss Yosef. And what's Yaakov doing? He is reciting Shema. This is very bizarre. really piques our curiosity. We'll come back to it in a minute. Ramban suggests a different scenario. And he says that the person who cried was quite clearly not Joseph, not Yosef, but it must have been Yaakov. He gives a very simple psychological reading. He says, "V'davar yadua midimato mitsuya." Who's more likely to cry? Ha'av hazaken, the elderly father who finds his son alive after his incredible desperation and mourning, or ha'ben ha'bechor ha'molech, or his young son who is a ruler over Egypt. As far as Ramban is concerned, it is Jacob who cries. He's old. His emotions are flowing. Yosef is standing in front of all his Egyptian officers, all his courtiers. Joseph is a young leader. He knows how to hold back his tears. It is Jacob who cries and not Joseph. Ramban actually gives another spin to the scenario where he says that Jacob by this stage, Yaakov, the elderly father, already can't see so well. And as he sees a figure coming to him in the chariot, he identifies him as an Egyptian figure and saw sure that Yosef was dressed in Egyptian royal clothing. And he assumes this is an Egyptian man. And only when he comes really close does he recognize Joseph's face. And that's why he has a sort of surprise. That's the Vayira'ilav. Joseph appeared to him. It was all so sudden that he burst into tears. Joseph, who already could see his father from far off, from afar, and could see his brothers and the wagons that he had sent, was prepared for the moment and could hold his emotions in. Yaakov, who was not only surprised, but as we've mentioned, also just overcome by emotion, couldn't hold back. And therefore it is Yaakov who cries, not Yosef. So we have the two opinions. We have Rashi, who says Jacob was the one who was stoic, kept it in, even possibly said Shema. Yosef cried. According to the Ramban, it is Jacob who cries and not Joseph. And let's try and see if we can understand what's going on here. I would like to maybe spend a bit of time talking about Rashi's approach that it is Joseph who cries and not Jacob. And we're going to deal with it in several stages. First stage, I'd like to relate to the writings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, who says the following. Joseph cried, Jacob didn't cry. Joseph's tears were flowing. Jacob, totally dry. Joseph continued to cry, even after Jacob carried on talking to him. And Hirsch says, why? And he says, between the time in which Yosef had left and now, Jacob had been all alone. He'd been isolated and he had already mourned. He had already cried. His entire life had been given over to his loss of his son Yosef. How about Joseph? Joseph had been very, very busy. He had been a ruler in Potiphar's house. He had been running the whole Egyptian economy, ups and downs, a young family. Says Rav Hirsch, Joseph had never given any time to really taking care of those emotions, those yearnings, all of those concerns for his father. He had a new life. In fact, if you look carefully at the story, Joseph calls his son Menashe, his eldest son Menashe. Why? Ki nashani Elohim et kol beit aviv et kol mali. Because God has helped me to forget my father's house. He wants to put that dreadful incident behind him. In other words, the way Hirsch is explaining it is, Jacob has already gone through all the loss, all the mourning. He's all cried out. He's all cried out. He doesn't need to cry now. He's dealt with the loss of his son, with the return of his son. Joseph is just beginning to process the moment. Joseph, who thought he had a new life and his family were gone, hasn't spent a lot of time reflecting on his situation. And suddenly, as his father reappears and he rejoins his family and his family are reunited with him in Egypt, he starts processing it. And this unlocks some sort of emotional pressure point, and all the tears come flowing. Yosef can't stop his tears. All of the subconscious worry, all the subconscious identity stress over the last 22 years, all of the hatred of his youth, everything comes out in this moment. That is how Rav Hirsch explains why Jacob might not be crying and why Yosef would be crying. But I'd like to add something here. Yosef seems to cry a lot. Yosef seems, even though he seems a leader of Egypt, he's constantly crying. If you read the story, all the time. When he first meets his brothers, he puts on a brave face. But when the brothers start talking between each other and start reflecting on the moment in which they sold him, it says, chapter 42, verse 24, as he hears his brothers talking to one another, he turned away from them and wept. Once again, when Binyamin comes down, and the first time he sees Benjamin, it says there again that with that, Joseph hurried out, for he was overcome with feeling towards his brother and was on the verge of tears. He went into a room and wept there. It even tells us how, Vayirchatz panav, when he has to come out, he washes his face to hide his tears and then emerges. So once again, he cries a second time in the story. The third time in the story is as Joseph reveals his identity. V'loyachol Yosef litapek l'chol anitzim v'ilav. Joseph couldn't control himself before his attendants, and he said, Hotziu kol ish me'alai, withdraw from me. And there was no one else there when Yosef made himself known to his brothers. Vayitein et kolo bivchi. He lifted up his voice in crying. Vayishme'u Mitzrayim. And all Egypt heard. It's as if all Egypt could hear his tears. So this is actually the fourth time that Yosef cries. There's a fifth time and a sixth time, in fact. When Yaakov dies, Yaakov has a scene in which he says goodbye to all of his children. Yaakov is able to really give his last will and testament to all of his children. He blesses some, he curses some. But as he actually breathes his last breath, it says, Joseph flung, chapter 50, verse 1, Vayipol Yosef al pnei aviv, vayivka la vayishaklo. It doesn't tell us the Reuven or Shimon or Levi or Yehuda cry. Yosef flung himself upon his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And then actually a final time, a sixth time that he cries, because after his father's dead, his brothers are worried that he might retaliate. And in fact, they turn round to him and say, we'll be slaves to you, you've got to forgive us for selling you. Once again, Joseph cries. Joseph is a highly, highly emotional person. And maybe we could put this back to exactly what Rav Hirsch was talking about. And maybe I will relate to this by reading a passage from the writings of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, an article called Joseph's Tears. And here, the quote begins in the following way. He's relating to the fact of Yosef crying when he reveals his identity to his brothers, and he says, at this moment it becomes clear to Yosef the terrible price he has paid for his success, for his integration into Egyptian culture, for all of his restraint. Yosef stands alone. Even once he decided to emerge from his isolation, to put an end to his alienation, those around him remain alienated from him. It is only now that Yosef discovered what he has sacrificed in exchange for the power that he has accumulated, for being the ruler over all Egypt, for presuming to be the one to feed, nourish, command, and sustain. This tone, so tragic for Joseph, finds further expression later on. After Jacob's death, Joseph cries once more. Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. Understandably, he's filled with sorrow over the death of his father, but why is he the only one weeping? Where are all of his brothers? It seems that what separates Joseph at this point is not the grief over Jacob's passing, but the guilt over his separation. Joseph discovers the limits of raw power. He discovers the extent to which human connections, the personal connection, the family connection, hold far more value and importance than does power, both for the person himself and for all those around him. When all is said and done, who is dependent on who? Are Joseph's brothers dependent upon him, the master, the lord, the ruler, the viceroy, or is he perhaps dependent on them as he yearns for their acceptance and desires their closeness? When I think about this scene, and if we do read it in this sense, it's easy to view it in the way that Ramban does. Jacob, the old man, cries. Joseph is stoic. But all of the other sources, Rashi, Hirsch, Ravara and Lichtenstein here, all want to claim that actually Joseph is the one who is filled with tears. And where do we take all of this? Maybe we take away from this is that Joseph plays a very high price. What's the price? Rav Aaron Lichtenstein here, the passage we just read, says it's the price for his ambition. How often do people spend too little time with their family when they're busy trying to build their careers and only regret it later? How often do people not spend enough time with elderly parents until it's too late? The things that we're busy with and the things we neglect. But maybe I'll take it even to a further point. Maybe it isn't that regret. Maybe it's a different regret. Maybe the tears are the tears of the divisions in the family, the price of hatred. It's a sense of tears over, why did my father favor me? Why did my father give me that coat of many colors? Why are we always arguing within our family? It's fascinating that when Joseph has his own children, Manasseh and Ephraim, and his father comes to bless them, he switches the firstborn and the secondborn and tries to give the secondborn a senior blessing. And Joseph says to his father, don't do that. And the Abarbanel says, basically he says, don't mess me up. Don't mess my children up like you mess me up. Maybe all these tears are there to show us the price of brotherly hatred. And I think these tears are so evocative because until this point in Bereshit, until this point in Genesis, we have always had sibling rivalry. I'd even say sibling ejection. What I mean by that is Cain and Abel have rivalry between them, and Cain kills Abel. There is a rivalry between Yitzhak and Ishma-